Okay, there's a lot to be seen here, and that's the reason I want to get right into the message. We're going to skip, I wanted to read all of it I could, because we're going to take whole blocks of verses at a time and just comment on them. Now, I start to look at verse 45. Verse 45, Pharaoh, after all of this, called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And I started to entitle this message that, but I didn't want Sam to have to type that on all the tape later. Zaphnath-Paaneah. I had to look it up myself. But it means revealer of secrets, or the man to whom secrets are revealed. That was the name, special name given to Joseph by Pharaoh. Now, another marvelous picture of Christ. Marvelous. Pharaoh here, as you probably already see, represents the Lord God, God the Father, and Joseph, God the Son. These are the two characters in this story. All right? Now, Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh has a dream. In the first seven verses, he has a dream. And he tells it twice. It's written twice. And in verse 8, it says that he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men thereof. He called for the wise men and told them his dream, and none of them could interpret. They didn't, in our language, have a clue. And I thought of Isaiah 29, which we recently looked at. God Almighty has a purpose. God Almighty has purposed all things from the beginning. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. God's purpose is written in this book right here. God's will, God's mind, God's purpose, which none of these hocus-pocus preachers, magicians. No. In Isaiah 29, it says, "The vision is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, a doctor of divinity, a master of divinity, a Bible scholar. Deliver him this story. He might not even say Christ's name one time." "Read it," they say, "I pray thee." And he said, "I can't, it's sealed." So these magicians, they can't see it either. They don't know the mind, the will, and the purpose of God. So the word of God was hid to the so-called wise men of Egypt. Egypt, the world. The wise men of the world. That's what our Lord said. There's one revealer, one who reveals the truth. And we're going to see that. All right? In verse 9, the butler comes up again. Verse 9, "The chief butler spake unto Pharaoh, saying," he had a confession. Now, the butler's in the service of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's dream came up, and the butler, his conscience pricked him. His heart pricked him. And he said, I remember my thoughts this day. There is someone, and I've forgotten all about him. There's someone." Pharaoh, and he told his story. He made his confession. That's what he did. He confessed his sins, his guilt. And he declared one person who made known to him his mind, his heart, his dream. The revealer of secrets. Who restored him to his place with Pharaoh. And this is the confession. This butler represents every single believer who confesses to God the Father his sin, my sins ever before. Unbelief. That's what this represents, unbelief. I've forgotten Christ. Lived all these years without a mind to Christ at all. But then Christ reveals himself to every believer, reveals a mind, a heart, purpose, the salvation of God in Christ himself. And Christ restores that sinner to his God, gives life. And that's the confession. This is the confession of every believer, this confession of the butler. All right? He said in verse 13, the butler said, everything he said came true. Everything that this one in prison with me said came true. Just like he said it was. He's the truth. And he restored me. All right. So that's the confession. And this is a confession of every believer. And I couldn't help but think of Ephesians 1, verse 8 and 9, which said, God hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure of His will, which He purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. God made known unto us, abounded toward us in wisdom, hid these things from the wise and prudent, but a poor, miserable, prison-bound butler, He made known the mystery of His will, His purpose, which was Christ. So that's the confession of every believer. All right? Now Pharaoh sends for Joseph. Verse 14. Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He sent and he called for Joseph. Every word is so particular in God's Word. Sent. How many times did Christ say in the Gospel of John, the Father has sent me? He's called the sent one. I forget how many times, dozens of times, Christ said, the Father has sent me. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them, to redeem the prisoners, to redeem them. In Isaiah 42, I think I wrote that on your outline. I don't know if I like that outline or not. You know where I'm going next. I like surprising you. But that's all right. In Isaiah 42, verse 6. So he's the sent one and called. Joseph sent and called Joseph. Isaiah 42, 6. I, the Lord, speaking of God the Father, have called thee, Christ, in righteousness. And will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of the prison. Them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. All right, now look at the text. In verse 14. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, out of the dark. Out of the dungeon. Christ came. Christ lived. Christ died. Christ was buried. Put in the darkness of the tomb, wasn't it? But He was brought out. He came forth. Out of the dungeon. Back from the dead, didn't it? And this is a picture of Christ's resurrection and ascension right here. Verse 14. And He shaved Himself and changed His raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. You see that? Christ shaved you. In other words, Joseph, he looked like a prisoner. He looked like a haggard, lowly prisoner in a dungeon. But then when he's about to go back to Pharaoh, he changed his appearance and put on new clothing and went to the king. And what a picture of Christ that is, assumed His glorified body, laid aside His lowly form, visage, that marred visage. He laid it aside for this glorified body that He had in the beginning and put back on His royal robes and went to the presence of God for us. Verse 15. And so Pharaoh tells his dream unto Joseph. I've dreamed a dream. Verse 15. And he says, there's none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst, that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Matthew 11, 27 says this. Our Lord said this. That no man knoweth the Father, save the Son, him. No man knows the Father's will. No man knows the Father's purpose. No man knows the Father's mind. No man knows the Father's salvation. No man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal it. So Christ is the only one that can reveal God the Father. Buddha can't do it. Confucius can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten, he hath declared him. He's the only one. The only one that can. And without a revelation from Christ himself, we don't know God. This is life eternal, to know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Well, look at verse 16. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, and Pharaoh said, I understand that you are the only one that can understand the dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. If that troubled you a little bit, don't let it, because Christ said personally, he said, the words I speak not of myself, but the Father which has sent me. As a man, he didn't take the glory to himself, but he glorified the Father. But the Father is glorified in him, and him in the Father. But he said, now, the words I speak are not of myself, I speak words of the Father. And the word, the message that comes from Christ is a message of what? Peace. Paul wrote this many times in his epistle. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He began nearly every one of his epistles that way. So this message of peace is answer of peace to everyone whom Christ reveals the will of God. It's an answer of faith. It's an answer of faith. All right? God in me. So Pharaoh tells Joseph his dream. And verse 25, let's jump down there. He told him the whole dream. In verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Now Pharaoh had two dreams, didn't he? One of the cattle, and he awoke, and then he went back to sleep, and one of the ears of corn. Two dreams, very similar. And Joseph said, Pharaoh's dream is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The work of God is being shown here, and it's one. The word and the work. It's one. The Word of God speaks of one, doesn't it? The Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, it's one. It's one. The will of God, the purpose of God is in one. The mind of God, the pleasure of God is in one. Justification, sanctification, it's in one. It all speaks of one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope of your calling. It's one. The Word of God is one. And I've just quoted to you Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. He's going to gather together in one all things, even in Him, in Christ. It's one. The will, the purpose. God has showed us what He has done, is doing, and will shall do. It's all in one. In one person. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Revelation 1. Did I write that down, Revelation 1, on your notes? Ha, good. Revelation 1 says this. Listen, very carefully. Revelation 1, verse 1 says this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That's exactly what that verse is saying. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. God gave. Joseph said, dreams one. And God is showing Pharaoh what he's about to do. The revelation, the book. Two books? No. One book. of one person, of one work, of one thing needful. Salvation is in one. One. All right. So, and he wrote down in verse 19 of Revelation 1, he wrote he said, write the things which thou hast seen, things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, here are the dreams of Pharaoh. Seven fat cows. Seven lean cows. Seven fat ears of corn. Seven lean ears of corn. All right? The lean cattle, seven lean cattle, ate up the seven fat cattle. And in the next dream, the seven withered ears of corn ate up the seven fat ears of corn. That was a dream. All right? And Joseph tells him what the dream is, that these seven fat cattle and seven fat ears of corn are times of plenty, 7 years of prosperity, but plenty, abundance, superabundance, such as never been seen before. And then after that, though, are going to be 7 years of famine, such as never been seen before. So much so, so bad, so grievous will be the famine that you'll forget all about the prosperity. It's going to just totally consume everything that was built up in those 7 good years. That's the dream in a nutshell. All right? All right, now look at verse 32. And Joseph said in verse 32, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. Same dream, but it was told twice. Why? Because the thing is established by God, that it might be established. God will shortly bring it to pass. God said it twice. And the Scripture says, God has spoken once, yea, twice. But most men don't perceive it. They don't perceive it. Some do, and God lays up in store for them. The Scripture says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. God has spoken once. God in the beginning. God in sundry times spake unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. All right? Now, the dream, the vision, the story here is the same as Pharaoh's dream. Times of plenty, times of famine. Scriptures talks about this. I do want you to turn to Amos, the book of Amos. Might take you a little bit to find it. Amos chapter 8. Good times followed by bad times. Times of affluence followed by times of famine. And in time, this is the way it has been in God's purpose and in the course of time. This is the way it has been. God, in the beginning, sent prophet after prophet after prophet. I was looking at that chart on your wall. I want one of those. Where'd you get that? Find out. Prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. God had not left Himself without a witness in every generation. Prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. The Word of God to every generation. Prophets like Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, just all. Wow. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Up to Malachi. And then there were over 400 years. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. 400 years went by. No more prophet. God didn't speak again for 400 years. And then John the Baptist. Okay. He was the next prophet, John the Baptist. Well, Amos chapter 8 tells of this, tells of that famine, and also of another to come. All right. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God. that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of God's word. And it says, they shall wander from sea to sea, north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Famine. Can't find it. And so that actually took place in time past. And then Christ, then John came. Oh my, John the Baptist. He's called the last of the Old Testament prophets. Then that prophet came. Christ himself, of whom Moses spoke, said, God's going to raise up a prophet like unto myself. He's the one, he's going to tell you everything. We've just prophet. The reason there were so many prophets, Dan, is each one of them told a part. They all prophesied in part. But Christ came, said, he told it all. He, in Matthew 24, in about 5 minutes, he told it all. All things. Because he's that prophet. He's the one who taught the prophets. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophets. Alright? And then Christ himself had his apostles and so forth. Now, it says here, no, go back to the text. It says the vision was doubled. So there was a famine before, and then Christ came, John came, Christ came, and his apostles came. But then Paul wrote, listen, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, he said, the time's going to come, perilous times. In the last days, this is the last famine. Perilous time is going to come. And he said they're going to turn away their ears from the truth. The famine of the word. There were more Bibles than ever in history, but less people read or less people know anything about it or care. So we're in the last famine. The vision is double. They will not in lean time. We're in lean time. Paul told young Timothy, he said, you preach the word in season and out of season. It's in season for a while and now it's out of season. It's out of season. It really is. It really is. And you've got to run to and fro. You've got to go a long ways to find it. Don't you? You've got to move from Stanton to Rocky Mountains to find it. You've got to go long distances to find it. Yes. So we're in lean time. Now, back to the text. Here's Joseph's counsel to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's decree. Verse 33. And Joseph said, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man. Let Pharaoh choose a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. What Pharaoh needs is a man discreet and wise to be over of this whole thing. Discreet. The word discreet means having discretion, or that is intelligence. Superabounding intelligence. Discretion. Discernment. Foresight. Someone with vision. Someone with authority. Someone that can lead. Someone that can see ahead and know what to do. Someone who knows what he's doing. Discreet and wise. One who can wisely take the best course. One who knows what to do and how to do it. That's what Pharaoh needs. That's what the people need. That's what Egypt needs. They need someone discreet and wise. And Christ is that man. That's the title of this message. The B man. B man. Discreet and wise. There was only one. Pharaoh looked for one. And there was only one. I thought about Pilate saying, what is truth? I'm standing right in front of him. The rich young ruler who said, or the Pharisees who said, what about the kingdom of heaven? I'm standing right in front of him. all in one. Every answer is in one person. Christ is the one discreet and wise, a man who knows, a man who's able to do all needs to be done. Verse 34, let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land. Take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seventh plenteous year. Appoint officers. This is what needs to be done. A man discreet and wise over everything who will appoint officers to overseers under his charge to take care of things too. And that's exactly what Christ did in Matthew 10. It says he chose his 12 apostles. He chose some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to feed the remnant. Fit in the time of famine. Verse 37 and 8. Pharaoh said, the thing was good. This is good. In the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this? Is there one? Yes, there's one. Only one. A man in whom the capital S. See that? Capital S. Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, you're the man. Pharaoh looked at Joseph, beheld Joseph, loved Joseph, highly esteemed Joseph, admired Joseph, and said, you're the one. Thou art the man. Thou art my children. Thou art the man. Verse 40. None like you. Since you've showed all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. Verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house. And according unto your word, shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Thou art the man. By thy word will my people be ruled. And that's exactly what God says of his son in Psalm 2, didn't he? I've declared the decree. Thou art my son. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your heritage. God has set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. That's his decree. You're the one, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess to you. The only one equal or greater than you is me, God the Father. Let's read verses 41 through 46, all right? We didn't read that. And just, it doesn't need comment. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from off his hand. The very ring, the very signet, the identifying, distinguishing mark of Pharaoh, his sovereign seal, and put it on Joseph's hand. And arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. Put a gold chain about his neck. And made him to ride in the second chariot. Second person of the Godhead. The second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. Everybody better bow the knee to Joseph. Pharaoh made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Without you, they can do nothing. Without you, without a word from you, without appealing to you, without you giving the word, without you giving the command, they're all going to have to come to you for everything. I've made you Lord over all. So has God with Christ. In verse 45, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. If you want to use that, Sam, that's all right. It's a good name. The revealer of secrets. And look at this. He gave him a wife. And he gave him a wife. Gave him a wife. Christ said, God has given me a people. In John 17, he said, I've manifested thy name unto the people that thou hast given, the men that thou hast given me. God gave Christ a bride, daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Christ came to this land to oversee it. look out His people. Now, these next few verses, and it all happened like Joseph said. It all happened according to the word of Joseph. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old. Wait, 30 years old when he started reigning. It says that very thing of our Lord Jesus Christ when he stood before the king. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, went throughout all the land of Egypt. And what he did was he gathered things up. He began to gather. Verse 48, food. He gathered up and laid it up. Christ gathered his people, didn't he, while he was here. The gathering of the people shall be to him. Verse 49, Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, till he left numbering. It was without number. Well, God's people are numbered. And unto Joseph were born two sons. This is interesting. Two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine came. Verse 51, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Name of the second, called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And this is a name really given to all of God's people. Our sins and our iniquities he remembers no more. And we're fruit. We're the fruit of Christ's work of our God. 7 years of plenty and the land of Egypt were ended. Verse 54, 7 years of dearth came. According as Joseph said, all the land of Egypt, though, there was bread. All the land of Egypt was famished. The people cried to Pharaoh for bread. What did Pharaoh do? He said, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. And whatever he says, do. Does that sound familiar? Whatever he saith unto you, do it. He's discreet and wise. And he's got all the corn. And he gives it plentifully. Verse 56. The famine was over all the face of the earth. The whole world was under this famine. And who was in charge of all the food that there was to have was Joseph. He, what did he do? Oh, he's merciful. He's gracious. He opened the storehouses. It sounds to me like, Brother Dan, that you could bring whatever you wanted to bring and he'd fill it up. Does sound like that to you? Like you brought a sack or wagons. It doesn't matter. He'd fill it up. That's what he did. And but he sold to the Egyptians. We're going to see in the next few chapters, he gave it to his family. He was free to his family. He sold it. And all the countries came to Egypt, to Joseph, to buy corn. Famine was sore everywhere. Next Sunday, this Sunday, corn in Egypt. Corn in Egypt. And these no good, worthless, sorry, rotten brothers are going to have to come empty, hungry, about to starve to death to their brothers that they don't know. He's got it all. Stay tuned. It gets better. All right, stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Again, we thank you. It is marvelous. It's truly the word of God. No man, no private interpretation. No private interpretation. It's not the word of Moses. It's God's word. How clear it is to us who understand, who had these things revealed. So clear. So clearly speaks of Christ, the Word, made flesh. And we ask that you would take this Word now and plant it. Create faith in Christ. Increase faith in Christ. Our elder brother, our Lord and our Master, our Joseph who sits on the throne, to whom we come for everything. It's in His name we're met here, for the honor and glory of Your Son. Amen. You're dismissed.